All right. Good afternoon. All right. I like that. Let's do that again. Good afternoon. All right. Amen. Thank you. Well, I hope you all had a good time singing. It sounded really good when I came through here. So this afternoon, we'd like to continue on. I've got different scattered thoughts here that I hope to be able to fit together in somewhat of a understandable format, but knowing me and my neediness, I would just value if we could spend just a moment here. And is this microphone working, Brother Wayne? Are we good here? I can't tell. So, okay, all right. So maybe we could just take a moment here and just close our eyes and pray. Father, we just want to pray your blessing on us this afternoon. We thank you for the opportunity to gather again here around your word. We thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you that when we do life according to your word, that our lives work. Relationships flourish and we're blessed. And so, Father, I pray that as we live in 2024 and we experience pressures of the world, I pray that you'd help us this afternoon to just firmly resolve in our hearts to embrace the values of Jesus. Father, bless these precious young people. Bless these moments we share together this afternoon. We pray for inspiration. We pray for an infilling of your Holy Spirit. Lord, we pray that you administer your word to our hearts in our various situations, the things that we uniquely face in our lives, in our time, the times in which we live, the areas in which we live. Father, minister your word to our hearts. We can't do this without your grace. And so, Lord, our eyes are upon you. In the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. All right, so we ended our last session, and I've learned enough about, well, let me finish that. We ended our last session talking about excellence, pursuing excellence in relating to authority, and we'll come back to that in a bit after a bit of review. Now, one thing I've learned about teaching, when I was a school teacher, I taught English for a while, and the thing was, it wasn't hard to get people to learn, but the hard thing was to get them to remember. And, who was the teacher? Where did she get to? Oh, there you are. But it's hard to get people to remember stuff sometimes. And so, you know, I've noticed this with my daughter. I was teaching her 6 and 9. Now, to most of us, that looks very different. You know what I'm saying? But you could see that. I can see why she gets confused. And I found if I had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 in a sequence, she could identify which one is 6. But as soon as we get out of that sequence, it was hard for her to know which one was 6 and which one was a 9. And that's how our lives are sometimes. We know a lot, but when it really comes down to implementing it, when we're living life at 70 miles an hour, you know, you can read. For instance, you know how to read. You can read well, but if you don't really, if you really don't read well at all, but you can just kind of barely make it through reading, when you're driving down the road and that sign comes by at 70 miles an hour, you don't have a lot of time to read. And so that's when it really shows up. And that's how our lives are. Our lives are just full of decisions, constantly facing us every day. And the things we think we know, unless they go deep in our hearts, they really end up not affecting our lives like they ought. So we're going to do a little review here. This morning, we talked about the wrong question. And over here on the girl's side, what is the wrong question? According to me, what's the wrong question? What's wrong with it? That's good. Thank you for that. You got a good memory there. What can you expect your life to look like if you ask that question a lot? Mediocre. You can expect to end your life having accomplished very little, next to nothing for the kingdom by continuing to ask that question. What is a better question to ask, girls? What's right with it? Or we could say it in other words, is this excellent? Another thing, is this expedient? Is it, one more I mentioned?
Edifying.
Excellent. Okay. And there's more questions we can put in there, but that's enough. Those are the ones that Scripture uses, and we could ask a lot more questions. The man who sees this spike buck walking through the woods, he doesn't not shoot it because he asks what's wrong with it, but it's just not valuable enough for him to use that buck tag on. Is that how it is around here? I know in my area down there, you get one buck tag. And so that's why, it's not because there's something wrong with it, but just it's not valuable enough. And if young people, if we can begin to ask those kind of questions and make decisions based on what is excellent, what is expedient, And will this edify? Now we're going to, now our life will accomplish something. Now, here's something that scares me. You all are growing up in a generation where people your age live in rooms. They're bedrooms or a room in the basement with a screen in front of them, especially boys. And they will just sit there on a chair. Now, sometimes they're not even a chair, but they have special gaming. Have you all seen those special gaming chairs? Kind of lay, you almost lay down, and you sit there and you just absorbed into this virtual world of gaming. And those young men, they never care if they make much money in their life. They never care about owning a house. They don't want the bother of going to work in the morning, not when they can experience gaming. And so they're not willing to make the sacrifices to actually be a valuable contributing part of society. Not to, they have no interest in making a difference, no interest in actually living a useful life because they're so satisfied with gaming. They don't even want to face the real world. You've met them. They look pretty rough, usually long hair, pale skin because never out in sunlight. You've seen these guys.
Yep.
And just totally spaced out. Just barely able to get through life. Mm-hmm. And try to get them to go to work. Try to get them to be productive. And they're not interested because their senses are used, taken up on something else. And young men, we can be the same thing. Because I talked to you about the very real possibility that we have to end up being mediocre. But the truth is too many people don't even care.
Right.
It's like a gamer. Yeah, it's not worth the effort. Mm-hmm. Young men, I don't believe you can be really right with God and not care.
Right.
I don't believe it. So if you tell them, oh, I'm born again, I'm saved, but I don't really care. It doesn't matter if my life is mediocre. I'm sorry. I don't believe you know Jesus. I'm just going to tell it to you. I don't believe so, because if you know him, you want to please him. You want to serve him in love. You want it because you know somebody has died in your place, and love so amazing demands something out of you. And so if you sat here this morning and said, you know what? I don't care. I'm fine with being mediocre. Mm-hmm. There's a very real possibility you don't know Jesus. The person who loves Jesus is not okay with just kind of bumbling through life and being mediocre. No, you actually want to build the kingdom of this one that you love so much, the one who's loved you first. All right. We talked about shared values and how that friends have shared values. Remember that? And how that if we love the world, we're a friend of the world because we have shared values with the world. I told you the story about the young man Willie Lear, who took someone else's place, and just to show the gratitude that should move our hearts as those who've been bought with blood. And I talked to you then about this whole thing. When we think of values, and the whole thing of we need to approve of those things that are excellent. And one of the things that we were using examples of things that are acceptable to God, one of those was giving. We talked about that from Philippians. But then where we really parked there at the last part of the sermon was on this thing where the scripture says that it's well-pleasing when we obey our parents. That's where we put a lot of time into that. And I want to just highlight that again for you before we move on, because I believe that that's a pressure you feel. That is a pressure that we face from the world to be disrespectful to our parents, to not really be that serious about what their input is in our life. And that is a pressure of the world. That is not a value of the kingdom of God. But this is, we were talking about individualism. That's a value of the culture. And then, and I was telling you over here, remember that we had this thing? I'm going to draw it again for you if you don't mind, because I really want to speak to that just a bit more before we move on. But over here, we had four levels of relating to authority. Can somebody tell me what the first one was? We're still doing our review in some ways. Yes? Over here. Somebody, what was the first level? Force. Yep. All right. Men's side, what was level number two in relating to authority?
Direct command.
All right. Okay, ladies, Level three? Your wish is my command. Now, maybe y'all, let me finish this. Your wish is my command. And then number four is actually probably a sub-point of number three, but I'm going to make it its own point because I want to hone in here a little bit. Young man, help me figure out. I can't figure out what words to put on that. So did y'all come up with something over your Bible study time or meditation time or lunchtime or salsa time, whatever y'all had downstairs?
There's somewhere where it says something about being guided by his eye.
All right. All right. That's a good one. What's your name?
Uriah.
Excellent, Uriah. Guided with his eye. Very good. Some other thoughts you have on that, because you got the idea. So this is not even, he didn't have to even say anything. You were so tuned in, you watched and you saw that eye and you knew. Yep, other ways of describing this. Do y'all know what I'm talking about, or is this Greek? Somebody help me out. What's another way of talking about this? Oh my. Of one mind. Yes. I think I had the words here earlier, tuned in. And I think I can best describe this to you, young people, because you all actually know a lot about this. You do. The problem is that because of the pressures of the world, and only just a small fraction of that would be individualism. There's other pressures we hope to look at in the next few days, values of the world. I've listened to a book recently called The Anxious Generation. How many of y'all read that? Okay, it's a secular book, not recommending it here just as a devotional reading, but very insightful. But it was talking particularly about the effect of social media on girls as they're constantly comparing themselves with other girls who are not even real, but like the images are adjusted by filters and, you know, it's not even airbrushed, or it's not exactly a realistic portrait. But anyways, but there's something those girls were doing as they scrolled through their social media posts, is they were comparing. They wanted to be like what they were seeing, and it was stressing them out because it was like trying to be like something that you couldn't actually be like because it wasn't real. But I want to think about imitation here a little bit. Is that spelled right, school teacher? Imitation. All right. I want to think about this because young people actually know a lot about this right here. Now, you think about it. You go to a youth gathering. Some of y'all came to a youth gathering this week. And when you walk in and you look around and you try to figure out, what do I need to do to be acceptable in this group? Now that goes through your mind without even you really consciously processing it. But I watched it happen with my daughter. She's just getting to the age, she's 10 years old. And so far in our lives, she's just pretty much been just happy to do whatever she's told. But I watched when I walked in here the other evening, and I realize she's getting to that age where she starts to feel that. She looked around. I saw it. And it's okay. I'm not. But she was trying to figure out, how do I do here? And that's okay. It's okay for us to have that to some degree. Okay? But young people, too often, this is tuned to your peers. And that's the value of the world. It's not Christ's value. We just looked here before we closed the last session out at what God expects of children, of young people, and who they're tuned into, who they seek to imitate. And here we are talking about this. But really, no, I'm being serious. This is how we tend to relate to our peers. What if that was related to, what if you actually felt that way towards your parents? What if you actually said, hey, how many of you go to a Bible school and you try to figure out, hey, how do I be acceptable here? You're tuned in. You're trying to figure out how do I get the look? And so you do this certain thing with your sleeve, which I don't know how to do. My shirts don't cooperate with me. But some of y'all got to look. And you did, you figured out how to do this. Why can't we do that towards our parents? I'm serious. Why can't we do that? What about this? Turn with me. You got to turn to this scripture. This is one you need to turn to. This is Hebrews 11, verse 7 here. Hebrews 11, verse 7. This scripture here has got a little harder for me to preach on over the last few years. It used to be, you know, didn't have the responsibility of oversight in the congregations. It's a little easier for me to preach this about how everybody's supposed to relate to the pastors. So it's a little tougher now for me in the last few years, but it's still scripture. So I want you to pay attention to this here. This here is, we think of this fourth level of relating to authority. There's authority in the home. There's authority in the home, is there not? And there's also authority in the church. And here it says, well, we talked about how it looks in the home earlier. And so here it says here in verse 7, remember them which have spoken, remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their faith. I am so sorry, y'all, I messed it up. I like Clinton there. You see that? He wasn't afraid to help me out. See, and it's safe to do that. And this thing here, if you hear me say something or you got a question, I consider it a high point of success if somewhere out this weekend you raise your hand and said, hey, I got a question. What about this? Okay, so just, we got that groundwork done. Thank you, Clinton. So it is 13, verse 7. I'm so sorry about that. I misled you there. So here we are, Hebrews 13, verse 7. Remember them which have the rule over you, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. And so here we see, just right there in black and white in your Bibles, it says, it talks about people who have rule over you. They've given you some input in your life. There's a bit of authority there. And it says there, whose faith follow. It's talking about your elders, your pastors, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversations. You actually, what it's telling you here is think about their life. Think about what's motivating them, and what are they thinking, and what are their values, and you are deliberately trying to shape yourself after them. Did you know that's biblical? See, we have a very unique thing in this country, and I believe it's actually, maybe it's even a global issue, but it comes back to this individual thing about me and my Bible and my Jesus. And I'm telling you that the Bible actually speaks that brotherhoods and churches should come together and be of the same mind in the Lord. And until a church is willing to do that, it cannot be biblical.
That's right.
Unless you actually come together and be of the same mind in the Lord. That is a part of being biblical. And so we wonder why our churches never work. Well, we've got to be biblical before a church is ever going to work. But anyways, I digress. What I was saying here was that here it says that you actually suppose there is somebody you're supposed to be tuned into. It didn't say your peers. Does anybody, your verse 7 there, does your Bible say peers there? Who are you supposed to be tuned into? What does it say there? Those who rule over you. Those who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow. Consider the end of their conversation. So I think that this thing here that so naturally, it's a pressure we feel from the world that so naturally is turned towards our peers. God is telling us today through His Word that needs to be deliberately taken, deliberately moved away from our peers and moved towards our parents and towards our elders. Are we still friends? Now, if you see that in your Bible, would you just say amen for right now? Amen?
Amen.
All right? I think that's what the Bible's saying. And I want to call us to that. So realistically, so let's just make this more practical. So you come in here, you come into this congregation, and I have actually paid attention to the ministering brethren here, and I think it should be kind of the way we do life. We kind of tune in and say, hey, how are they doing life? Would they drive this kind of vehicle? Would they wear that kind of pants? And listen, if you wouldn't see Brother Tice and Brother Wolf wearing it, let me tell you something. Don't wear it either. I'm serious. I'm not up here just filling in a weekend just because it's Bible school time. No, I'm talking about life and how do we move forward. I'm serious. And some of y'all got that, and some of you don't. I'm talking about this fourth level of authority here. I believe it is a value. It's the thing that's excellent. Yeah, you can say, hey, well, really, do I have to go that far? It's the excellent thing. And I'm telling you, I think that would be the heart of God for you. You sisters, you look at the wives of your elders and pattern your life after them. Instead of, oh, you met somebody at the wedding with this cute sleeve design. Amazing. And so you spend the next month trying to perfect that look. Sorry. Right back here. Right back here is where you need to be getting your cues. Now, is this false doctrine or what, young boys? Okay. You're looking at me like, man, I'm not thinking straight here. So we'll make sure. All right. So this is that fourth level. And what about your parents? What about your parents? You know, one of the things that grieves me as I've moved among our churches is a generation gap. In a generation gap, it's because of a failure of this right here. Yeah? If you believe me, say amen. Amen. Well, it's quiet. No believers here. Let's say it together just to warm up a little bit. Amen. All right. Okay. So I think that this is the reason for there's sometimes a generation gap. We're tuned in not just to our peers, but also there's an influence of the world. That's what's scary too. All right. Well, here we are. Now I've made a big deal out of this fourth point, but I think you're getting my heart there a little bit. And it is radical, okay? Because some of y'all need to go home and change. You need to seriously make some changes, okay? I'm just telling you. All right. But we'll continue moving on. The clock is moving. We're going to move. Okay, so here now we just went. Thank you for turning with me to that Hebrews 11. Now, would you turn back with me? We still didn't finish our reading here in Romans because this passage in Romans is just a tremendous thing. When we think about values, here. This Romans chapter 12 is just a beautiful place to park, to meditate, to ponder, and. As while you turn in there, I want to remind you that someone will shape my values. Someone. It'll either be the world or it'll be Christ. And I want to encourage us to be able to wholeheartedly say by the end of the week that I choose to intentionally say no to the world's values and embrace the values of Jesus. Amen. And so I want to say this again, and I want you to say it along with me here in just a minute. Someone will shape my values. Let's say that together. Someone will shape my values. They will. Somebody will. It's either going to be the world or it's going to be Christ. Let's say it one more time. Someone will shape my values. I want to appreciate y'all have done well. I realize that I like probably more interaction than you're used to, and I appreciate you being willing to bear with me in that. Thank you for that. Okay, so here we are. We're in Romans 12, and we were here in verse 2, and we did this big rabbit trail off of holy, acceptable unto God. That's what we're talking about here, the parents, the way we relate to our parents. This is acceptable to God, but we just got done talking about this fourth level of authority. It's a delight to God's heart when you see that. It's acceptable to God when you do that. And we're going to continue on reading here, which is, so holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Now that word, the Greek word reasonable there, is logikos, or it means logical, is where we get our word logical. It's reasonable. Do you realize all the things we're talking about here is just logical? It's not for some zealot. It's not for some extremist. It's not for some radical person. It's just what's our reasonable service. In light of everything that Jesus has done for me, the fact that He died in my place, it's just my reasonable service to offer myself to God and try to live my life well-pleasing, not just barely squeaking by, you know. Okay, if I have to, if you say so. No, reasonable service. Your wish is my command, even beyond that. Tuned in, guided with the eye from our parents and from our authorities. It's a reasonable service. And then we get down to the next, starting in verse 2. And here's where we get the plow down. Okay, all this was preliminary. Now we get the plow down and start plowing. Y'all plow around here, it looks like. There's some cornfields. It says this, "And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind." We want to think about this here just a bit. Be not conformed to the world. This word conformed comes up twice in your New Testament in the Greek. And the other time it comes up is in 1 Peter. I'll read it to you. You don't need to turn there. 1 Peter 1, it says, "As obedient children, not fashioning yourselves." That's the same Greek word. Conformed, not fashioning yourselves according to the former lust in your ignorance. But as He which has called you is holy, so be ye holy. Here we are talking about holiness again. Be ye holy. In all manner of conversation, because it is written, "Be ye holy, for I am holy." And if you call on the Father who without respect of persons judgeth according to every man's work, pass the time of your sojourning here in fear. I would add godly fear. Did you know, young people, that the world has a mold, it has pressure, it wants to shape your values. The world does. And that's what you see here. Paul's out of the beseeching us out by the mercies of God, how we're supposed to present our bodies, a living sacrifice, all this stuff we've got to talk about. He says, please don't be conformed to the world. Don't let the world press you into its mold. But instead of that, I'm not quite ready for that yet. The world has this mold, this pressure to shape us. And too often, it is an outward pressure. You've heard me talk. Did I talk about shoes this morning? Okay. I need those shoes, those pants, that sweater, that coat, that car, that truck, that grill guard, that purse, that accessory, that scarf. There's this pressure in those areas from the world. But the Bible says, don't be conformed. Don't let that pressure affect you. But here's what it does say. Be ye transformed. And that's the exciting part here. You see that there? Verse 2. But be ye transformed. Everybody say that together. Be ye transformed. And so we think about transformed here. It is a Greek word that shows up four times in the New Testament. Love that. Matthew 17:2 talks about Jesus, how he was transfigured before them. The same Greek word. Jesus was transformed. He was transfigured before them. His face did shine as the sun. His raiment was white as the light. 2 Corinthians brings up this word again in the Greek. 2 Corinthians 3:18, "But we all with open face, beholding as in the glass, the glory of the Lord, are changed." Everybody say the word changed. Let's do it again. Changed. Okay, so that's that Greek word there. Transformed. We're changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of God. Do you know that God wants to work in us from the inside out? Yes, He does. He wants to work in us from the inside out. Changing who I am deep inside, changing my values away from individualism, my values away from prestige, my values away from peer focus, all these values inside out. God wants to do that. God wants to change who I am deep inside. Now listen, there's a lie afloat in our world today that, hey, it's just the way I am. How many of y'all heard that before? Oh, it's just the way I am. Isn't that something that's common? And so people consider themselves saints if they somehow accept themselves for who they are. That's kind of a mark of sainthood in the world today. And listen, God is in the business of changing us from the inside out. That's what it says here, transformed. We're being changed from the inside out. How many of you know that God wants to change who I've always been? I'm not stuck with who I've always been. And God loves changing us at our very core. And how does this happen? It says here, by the renewing of your mind. You know, renewing of the mind is actually kind of practical. We need to learn to think differently. That's what we have Bible schools. We talk about things like levels of relating to authority because we need to renew our mind. We need to learn to think differently. We need to learn to take thoughts captive. And it's a big one for this side of the room. Well, it's actually a big one for this side. It's a big one for us all. Taking thoughts captive. Thoughts go through our minds that don't belong there, and we take them captive and make them subject to the Word of God. And here's another one. How do we renew our minds? Brothers, sisters, by prayer. How many of y'all were here last year for Bible school? Well, what did Mickey teach on? Help me out here. Somebody over here. What did Mickey teach on? Humility. Anything else?
Devotions.
Do what?
Devotions.
Okay. Closet time. What does he call it? Does he call it closet time?
I think so.
Okay, yeah. But you know, if we aren't serious about what Mickey calls closet time and walking with God and just experiencing a deep and meaningful prayer life, it's going to be hard to renew our minds. I think that's actually very, very important. And I want to just encourage you to walk those things out that he was teaching last year. I have really appreciated Brother Mickey's emphasis on that. And I say what I say today based on the assumption that you are already building on that foundation. Because if you're not being serious about your prayer life, then we're here wasting our time.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Because we can get you to jump through all kinds of hoops, but if you're not walking with Jesus, being connected with Him on a daily basis, pouring out your heart, seeking Him, letting Him renew your mind, then you're not going to get very far. But I'm assuming that's there. So we're talking here about renewing the mind. We also renew our minds by receiving guidance and counsel from mature saints. How many of you know that we need people? We need people in our lives. And we need to help us to learn to renew our minds.
Right.
I've noticed this about some of us. I've noticed this about myself. Some of us would rather not talk about our difficulties and failures until we can talk about it in the past tense.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Say, I can relate. Long time ago, I used to struggle with that, you know, and we make sure we don't talk about it until it was a long time ago. But the problem is that means there's a long time of struggle for some people not getting anywhere because they are just unwilling to open up and say, hey, I'm not really sure what to do with this, but here's what's going on inside. You got any advice for me?
Right.
See, that's how we renew our mind. When we just get open with the mature believers in our life, and just ask for counsel, ask for input. And we got to get beyond this thing of not being willing to do that until we talk about it in the past tense. Blessed is the young man who can open up in the middle of his struggle. Blessed is the young sister who can open up in the middle of their struggle, open up in the middle of being a basket case, amen, and just say, hey, here's where it's at. I don't know what to do about it. Oh, but you are on your way to renewing your mind because there's plenty of help around. There's plenty of grace around. There's plenty of wisdom around. But you got to crack that thing open and start to receive. That's how we renew our mind here.
Yep.
And here's another one. By brotherhood discussion, I believe it's important for us younger ones to listen carefully to our older, more mature brothers and sisters, and that's a good way to renew the mind. But anyways, we're moving on here. Renewing the mind, and we go down to we're still in this verse 2, that you may prove, now here, this is good here, that you may prove. This word prove means to allow. So here, if we would do this Romans 12 thing right, after all this stuff, we're not being conformed to the world, we transformed by the renewing of mind, and then we actually end up proving, we allow, and this word means to allow after testing. Okay, so at our butcher shop, we take in deboned meat. You bring in 30 pounds of deboned meat, you take home 40 pounds of summer sausage, just like that. But before we will take your meat, we're going to sit there, and it can't be frozen, because if it's frozen in a big block, I have no idea what's in there. We found interesting looking things in just deer meat, okay? Some stuff, it looked like a rabbit, skinned rabbit. I don't know what the stuff was. So we learned the hard way to not take anything that's frozen because we want to be able to sort through it and just say, okay, oh, wow, this looks great. Yeah, all right, 30 pounds, there you go. So, but we allow them to drop that meat off after we've tested it. And that's what he's saying here, that you may prove. Young people, that's what God expects us to do. This is what it says here, that you may prove, to allow after testing. That means we do some testing here, and we find out what is that good, you see that there? Verse 2 here, what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God? And that brings us all the way back to where we started here, to Philippians chapter 1, we started there this morning, that you may approve of things that are excellent, that you may be sincere and without offense until the day of Christ. And so that's our heart for you. I want to encourage you, as that's the way to not be conformed to the world. Because the world is putting pressure on you to accept things, to accept those pressures, and you're actually not going to just accept everything blindly. You're going to do some testing. I want to encourage you, young people, be thinkers, be communicators, communicate with those mature people in your life and test things. Test out these ideas. Don't just take it because you feel a lot of pressure from the world to do so. All right, so let me see what I should include here in these. Am I shooting for 3:30? Is that right? All right. Like I was telling you in the beginning, we know so much, but implement so little. That's a burden I have on my heart. And so we know, like for I'll just tell you something we know. We know we ought to be spending time in prayer. And yet, how many of us are disciplined about making that happen? It's a serious problem. As I've moved among young people and tried to encourage young people, they'll all tell me the right stuff. But how many of us are really making time? We're proving of things that are excellent. How many of us are really making that a priority? You know, so there's you have a chance to stay up late visiting with friends, and so you just do it. Rather than saying, hey, it's been a tremendous evening. God bless you all. I got an appointment in the morning early. I'm out of here. That's what I'm talking about. Like, seriously, giving ourselves the things that you've heard. You've been taught so well. You're a blessed group of young people. And I want to think, too, about approving of things that are excellent. And we're thinking about this here. So in your use of time, are you approving of things that are excellent? We're talking about values. The world values the social life. But the believer, you value that time with the Lord. So I want to encourage you. Be one who can end the party. I hope you all don't have parties around here. But end the discussion. Is that a better word, Brother Clinton? Okay. End the discussion. It's a good fellowship evening here. You're having a good time. But you realize, wow, if I'm going to get up in the morning and have my time with the Lord, if you're like me, you need some sleep. I don't do well running on no sleep. And so it just takes somebody in the group to say, all right, well, it's been a blessing. I'm going to have to sign out. So good night, everybody. That's what we need. We need, as young men, you really need to start doing that. Because seriously, how many of us let our prayer time slip a lot of times over social activities? Yeah. We're talking about things that are excellent. We're approving of things that are excellent here. Make sure you get that time in with the Lord. Think about your social needs. You know, as young people, we really enjoy doing things together. And that can be good. But you know, here again, let's ask some questions here. We're facing these needs of our social lives. And you know, you could get together, two of you, maybe you want to feel like, hey, I'd like to get together with somebody. And so you think, oh yeah, I got those clay pigeons. I've got the, you know, those shotgun shells down there. Well, let me see, who can we get together with and just go shoot some clay pigeons? Now, is there anything wrong with that? I want to ask the question for you. Is there anything wrong with that? No. Could you do something better? Is this excellent? Is this gonna build? And that's the question I want you to start asking. I mean, listen, if we don't bring this down into practical life, then we've wasted our time. But let's just bring this down home. So I tell you, I have a dream. I have a dream that I'm going to hear of young people who, yeah, they don't have enough time to go shoot clay pigeons or go to all the ice skating opportunities because they heard about somebody down the road that was terminally ill. And one of you called another brother, or maybe your dad, or whatever, a couple of y'all, just went down there and visited them, cared for them, took time for that. I would say that's approving of things that are excellent. Amen? Maybe there's, during the summer, you know somebody, oh, the widow's down there. You see her yard is growing up. She's not reaching around. She's older and not quite getting it all together as far as the yard work. So this social need that young people feel, you know, maybe if your parents feel good about it, you could get together with another young man or something and go down there and mow some yard. You know what I'm saying? So these are things that are, I think will be some excellent things rather than this push for fun and games. So let me say a few more things. I've got a couple things. I'm trying to figure out how to bring them together here in the minutes that we have left this afternoon. But, oh, Lord, help me. Let me see how to do all this. All right. So this is kind of going to be switching subjects a little bit, but it's all kind of tied together in my mind. Hopefully it will be in yours at the end of the day. But I want to think about this thing of input in our lives. I talked to you about it earlier as far as renewing the mind. I want to just talk a little bit about getting input. I believe that we all need input from other mature people in our lives. We really do. And I just want to encourage you, do you make it easy for people to give input in your life?
Good question.
Do you make it easy for people to give input in your life? You know, some I tell you, the American, the pressure of the world is to have it together. Be confident, you know. Use your own logic. I want to read you a few scriptures, if I can find my this spot in my notes here, about what the scripture says about being wise in your own eyes. That is very different than the one who can receive input. And I just want to encourage you, young people, be young people who can receive input. Input from your parents, where it's easy for them. I wish your parents were here. I'd do a survey. Find out, how easy is it for them to speak into your life? Ooh, would that be all right if I asked them? You okay with that? But young people, in order to renew our minds, and I'm sorry, I've got this thing like a big ball of yarn. Please forgive me. I realize I'm not communicating very clear, but you're doing a good job listening. But this whole thing of input, I just want to plead with you to open your heart to input from your life, from the mature Christians in your life and from your parents. I want to read you some scriptures from Proverbs about this thing, about being wise in your own eyes. Look, our culture places a strong value on individualism. You have it all figured out. And in fact, it's almost a part of godliness in some theological persuasions. But I'm telling you, the scripture speaks very highly of those who are able to receive input. So here's a warning from Proverbs. It says, "Be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil." Be not wise in thine own eyes. What I see there is that if you have a proper fear of God, it will give you a healthy suspicion of yourself. Proverbs 12:15 says, "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes." So if you think you're always right, let me break it to you. Well, I don't want to call you that, but you know what the scripture says about you. If you're kind of the smartest person you know, you kind of got it figured out. I'm telling you, I'm just going to write it here. I don't want to say it about you, okay? That's a very strong word, but that's what the scripture says. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel," he that gets input in young people, if you're going to survive in your generation, we're going to have to get good at receiving input. Otherwise, it's over for you. "The way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise." Somebody at home was telling me I need to do something different about my vehicle, and so I went to a few brothers and said, "Hey, listen, it doesn't matter to me. You all just tell me. I'm very happy." And so that's a pending decision right now. I'm getting some input about my vehicle. Is that safe to do in your life? Are you okay with just, you know, saying, "Hey, I'm not sure what to do about this. You brothers," we have three deacon brothers there in our congregation. I said, "Hey, here, y'all just decide what I should do about this. Because I'm happy to go either way. Doesn't matter to me. I could see some value in this. I could see some value in that. So y'all help me out here." So they're going, when I get home, they're going to give me some input. I need input. And you do too. Here's one. Proverbs 16 says, "All the ways of a man are clean in his own eyes, but the Lord weighs the spirits." Did you know that seeing yourself as clean, your motives as clean, is not really proof that you are? You're just a normal human being. That's what it means. Proverbs 21 says, "Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but the Lord ponders the heart." Ooh, Proverbs 30 is a serious one. It says, "There is a generation that are pure in their own eyes, and yet is not washed from their filthiness." And Isaiah says, Isaiah 5:21, "Woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight." And so, young people, I just want to read those scriptures and make a plea here as we finish up this afternoon's teaching. I want you to be very open to input. And I'm hoping to do it tomorrow. I'm going to get some papers printed off. It's okay. I'm not going to make you do much homework, but I'm going to get you to do just a hair for me. Is that okay? Is it okay if I give you a little homework? Can y'all work with me on that? Okay. Oh, is that all right? Okay, good. Okay, I'll do it then. So, but what we're going to do in this homework is I want you to recreate this, this list of, or, you know, the four levels of authority. And I want you to rate yourself with how you relate to your parents, your mother specifically, and your father, two separate evaluations, and then your pastors. Okay, and then I want you to rate yourself, and you'll see it on the paper, I want you to rate yourself on here about how open you are for input. Ooh, is that okay? So that's what we want to do. And you're going to be able to circle 1 all the way up through 10, you know, to tell me how you feel like you are. And here's what I did. I did this recently in our own church, and a lot of the young people said, "Well, nobody's ever talked to me about anything." So here's the thing. Here's how you can make this thing work. And I'm telling you something that I have practiced in my life, okay? It's actually not that hard to get input. And there's some young men in our church who are doing so good at this. And they come to me and say, hey, I was wondering, is anything about me bothering you? Any concerns? Anything you'd like to speak to my life? That's a way to get some input. And you can do that. I want to encourage you to do that. Seriously. I think that'd be good. And you sisters, do that. It would be powerful. It's been a beautiful, beautiful thing to see people putting that into practice. We make so much progress in our lives. I believe that the Lord wants us to turn our eyes away from, back to the beginning here, turn our eyes away from just this immature question of what's wrong with it and start pursuing excellence, so much so that we're willing to get input in our life. Hey, is there any area in my life where you feel like I'm not pursuing the things that are excellent? I'm looking at this generation, and I'm trusting that you all will be some of those. Amen? Who don't keep asking the immature question of what's wrong with it. I trust that you're going to be some young people here today who are going to pursue excellence. Excellence in relating to authority. Excellence in saying no to the world's values. And we're going to unpack that some more tomorrow, Lord willing. And saying yes to the values of Jesus. You're going to reject this push of individualism. And you're going to be one who receives input. I believe that that you all will do that. I trust that you're going to move beyond the basics of right and wrong and press into the things that are excellent, things that edify, things that are expedient, things that will advance the kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I hear, I believe, I trust that I'm going to hear stories of the excellent choices you're making. I trust I'm going to hear that there's going to be group texts going around. I don't know if y'all do group texts here or not, but I've been shocked at some of the group texts I've seen sometimes. Foolish things, unbelievable things, just sacrilegious things. But the times that you do that, maybe it'll be somebody not getting together for a clay pigeon shoot. And y'all probably don't even do that here. Maybe that's a southern thing, as they say down there. Southern thing. But for things that edify, I trust that you're going to carve out some time in your schedule to serve others. Time to get alone with God. And then I'm going to know, as I hear those stories, that I'm going to know that you are saying no to the world's values and saying yes to the values of Jesus. Let us pray. Father, I pray you bless these young people. Thank you for their attentiveness, their willingness to hear. And Lord, I pray that in every one of their hearts, you'd help them to pursue the things that are excellent. Lord, I pray that it just be a commitment in all of us to say no to the world's values and say yes to the values of Jesus. And Lord, we hope to give us grace to understand some more of those things tomorrow as we get into more specifics. But for today, I pray that we would just be able to make those choices, relate in ways of excellence towards our authorities. We thank you for our authorities, Lord. We're so, so blessed. We thank you, Lord, for our parents, our ministers, Father, and I pray that every heart here would open themselves up deeply to input. Lord, how simple could our lives be if we just got that issue down? Lord, there's so many things that will make our lives beautiful when we walk in your ways. And I pray that you just give these young people godly desires and help them to press into those things that are excellent. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, one more thing. I see I've got a few minutes left here. One more thing I want to talk about, maybe one more. We'll see how this goes. See if I can get it wound down. I'm going to try to get it wound down in time, okay? Is that 3:30, right? I've got a few more minutes. Is it okay if I get practical for just a minute? Now, I grew up that in prayer, we were always taught to close our eyes. Mm. Oh, my. It was a big deal in my family. And so I did it. I was religious about it. And then, what happened? I became a father, okay? And so now the game changed a little bit. Now I'm enforced to watch and pray. But I found out when I started watching and praying, I found out some very interesting things. I found out it's very normal for my generation to just look around. It's prayer time. Pastor's praying heaven down. And the young people were just... That's what I found out when I started watching and praying. Now, that may be a Southern thing. Again, it's an awkward thing to come to the North and preach, okay? Because I don't know what's a thing up here and what's just a Southern thing. Amen. But if I know enough about human nature, I have a hunch I'm not totally preaching to the choir here. I'm just curious. Would you raise your hand if your parents never gave any indication that they cared about you closing your eyes during prayer? Okay, so no, don't raise your hand yet. But do you understand the question? So in other words, it was never taught in your home. It never mattered to your parents. It was not a thing at all to close your eyes in prayer. Do you understand the question? Now raise your hand if that was never an emphasis or cared about in your home. Raise your hand. Okay? Now maybe we should pray again. Now I can just do that. Now I can just watch without having. But I want to ask you a very, very painful question. Okay? Is it okay? Y'all okay with me getting a little uncomfortable here? Ready? So now I would like to know who all of you actually kind of halfway commonly don't bother closing your eyes in prayer. Is that okay? Can we be honest? Is that okay? Or is y'all ready? So if you kind of commonly just gawk around during prayer, would you go ahead and raise your hand? Nice and high. Wow, saints. All right. Wow, I'm amazed. You're doing something right up here, Tice. This is beautiful. All right, so I am preaching to the choir. But I'm just going to tell you that I have found a lot of young people that they knew very clearly what their parents expected of them in that area. And here they were. No, we're not talking about, 11-year-olds, but knew clearly what it was, and just gawked around in prayer. I just want to encourage, that's a practical area. But young people, I just want to encourage us, just be tuned in to your parents in that way. They shouldn't have to say, I really wish, here you are a teenager, I really wish you kind of hone in and pray when we pray. Because if you did that, I'm sure your spiritual enough, you would have let that wish be the command. But you knew from way years ago that's how you would do. And I just want to encourage that among us. I think I'm going to leave it with that. I think that would really do us well. Maybe I want to show you this graph yet, because tomorrow we're going to start talking about pressures of the world. Now this will be, I don't know if this will be interesting to you. I like graphs. But this is a graph here. I'll let you look at it afterwards if you want. But this is a graph of what I found in our Bible school. I asked the young people to do a survey of the things they feel pressure from the world on. Like, what are areas where they really feel the pressure? And there were two huge ones. The second to the top one was the pressure to be well thought of, to be popular, to be cool, the need to be like others, and the fear of being different. It was way up there. You see that tall one? And then the other one that was way up there, the one that beat, the total of, took the first place, was the pressure for form-fitting clothing, a casual appearance, and a focus on hairdo and beauty. So anyways, I'm hoping to do a survey a little bit later in the week here, see what kind of pressures you all feel, because you are real people too, you've got pressures in your life. So anyways, anybody's welcome to look at this. But with that, I've got to be true to my word, and we're going to call it quits.